You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Coming to you from Classic City,
the capital of the Bulldog Nation.
It's time for another edition of the podcast designed for the most diehard Georgia fans in the country.
Here are your hosts,
Tyler and Curtis.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Glory UGA podcast, brought to you by our great friends at MyBookie. The college basketball regular season is over. March Madness is here, and there is no better time than now to get in on all the action. Conference tournaments start this week. So go to mybookie.ag, and if you're a brand new user signing up for a new account, use our promo code UGA, and they're going to give you guys a 50% bonus on top of that first deposit. You've heard us talking about it for months and months now. Now's the time to jump on it and take advantage of it while you still can. But all right, guys, I am your host, Tyler, and back with me today for the first time in a long time, after putting the biggest case of his young career to bed. Is that safe to say, Curtis, the biggest case of your career to date?
I would say so, yeah. It's definitely, it was the first one to take that much time.
Yeah, I know that was at least a good three-ish months or so. So I'm glad you're through that for your sake, but also selfishly for the podcast. It's great to have you back on here. So he is back, my co-host Curtis, longtime co-host Curtis, back for the first time in a long time. So Curtis, my man, welcome back to the land of the living. I know you've kind of felt like a zombie the past few months. Like, how do you feel now that it's behind you?
Starting to feel like myself again. I'll say it's nice to feel like you have a life again.
Okay, so for us that are not in the legal profession, what kind of days are we talking about here in terms of like when you're on a big case like this, like how much time are you putting into this on a daily, weekly basis?
It was probably a good 10 to 12 hours a day for the first couple months. And then as it gets closer, you're then closer to 12 to 15 hours, maybe.
God bless you, man. God, I mean, hey, man, that's how you do. That's how you make the big bucks. So I know that, I mean, that's part of the job, right? Like, it's just what you do.
I guess that's how it falls.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, better you than me, but I'm glad at least for now you have a short little reprieve here and you're back here on the podcast with us. But let's go ahead and dive into it. You ready?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's do this. So spring break is over here in Athens. All the students are back in the Classic City. It was nice while it lasted. Yes, I know the students kind of helped make the city go, but it's also nice when they're not here. I can actually, I don't know, like walk into the gym and not have to wait 20 minutes for a bench press. That's great. Well, that is over, but it's not all bad. With the students returning, that, of course, means spring practice is like now. It opens on Tuesday. Over the past 2 weeks, I've kind of been rolling out our spring practice primary series to preview the battles at each of the position units on the team. But obviously, there's still a ton of meat on that bone, a ton that I have not even had a chance to dive into. So today, we're going to fix that. We're going to tie everything together, and we're going to preview spring practice as a whole. I know we talked about last week, guys, that maybe we would do a way too early Georgia 2024 season preview today. We're going to hold off on that until right after spring practice. Obviously, we'll recap G-Day. Then after spring, we kind of have a clearer picture on who are going to be the guys that are like taking the lead for some of these in some of these position battles. That's when we'll do that preview because we'll have more information to work with. Right now, like there's certain things we know. Like we know Carson Beck's going to be quarterback. We know Malachi Starr's going to start at safety. But we're flying blind in a lot of the other areas. So we're going to wait to get a little bit more information. We'll do that right after spring practice. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a lot to talk about today. We're going to dive into the biggest questions facing this team heading into the spring. Freshmen to watch. I always know that's a big topic of conversation. People want to know who to look for these out of these young guys. which position battles have our attention, breakout candidates, and more and more and more. A lot more to talk about, guys. So let's go ahead, Kerr. Off the top here, I think this is the place to start. We know that this is a national and championship contender. Almost universally right now, at least among like the talking heads and people who put out publications and put out lists, like the sports books themselves, they are handicapping Georgia as not even one of the favorites to win the national title this year, but as the favorite to win the national title. And I think in large part, that's very fair. But that doesn't mean that this team is not without its questions. Like any team, we have questions. It's the nature of the beast when it comes to college football because there's so much turnover on an annual basis, especially now in the age of NIL and the transfer portal. So this is a great team. It's a talented team. I think it has an opportunity to be a great team. It's not a great team yet. We'll have to see. But there are also, clearly, Curtis, some questions that have to be answered. So off the top here, I've got three or four questions of my own that I want to run through. But what's the biggest question you've got right now for this team heading into spring? Like, what do you think needs to be answered, or what would you like to see answered this spring?
I think you have a lot of question marks on defense, if I had to be honest. But I think, to me, the biggest is actually probably going to be the front seven. Because that, to me, was one of the biggest crux of our team last year.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I would actually be slightly more specific in my question. To me, it's a defensive line. Like,
I think that's fair, because I believe in the linebackers, but I think, as we saw this past year, a lot of it is going to fall on the D-line.
Yeah, I'm very confident our linebackers. The question for me at inside linebacker is more along the lines of, who are going to be the top guys? I have a lot of confidence in all of them. I just don't know who's going to rise to the top there. But for me, like, we have good players on the defensive line. And I'm not here to say that we have garbage players and like that. No, they're good. They're all really good players. You wouldn't be at Georgia if you're not good. But good doesn't really win you national championships on the defensive line, as we saw last year. We need difference makers. And when we won in 21-22, we had difference makers along the defensive line. And that is my biggest question for this team heading into spring. And we might not answer this spring. I think we'll hopefully start to get some sort of indication as to what that answer might be. But it might be until fall camp. It might not be until, you know, we get to Kentucky week three in our SEC opener. I guess probably be Clemson in week one. But we need a difference maker, Curtis. I don't know that we do have one right now. I think we have some guys that have the potential to grow into that. But are they ready? Especially the young guys like Jordan Hall and Jamal Jarrett. Are those guys ready? Christian Miller even. Are they ready to take the next step in their progression and become difference makers? Because that's really what separated us. I mean, our culture is a big part of what separated us, you know, in 21 and 22, in those national championship runs, obviously. But in terms of like on the field, the tangible things, our defensive line, we guys like Jordan Davis and Devontae Wyatt and Jalen Carter, all those guys, I mean, those are difference makers. And in 21, we had three of them on our team. Right now, I'm not sure that we have one. At least I don't know if we have anybody that's ready to be one right now. So that's a huge question. It was my biggest question last year, and it remains my biggest question this year, because we largely had the same guys. They're just a year older. So are those guys, are the young guys ready to take a step forward? Are the veterans, like, do they have it in them to maybe take their game to the next level? I mean, I tend to think guys like, you know, Nazir Stackhouse and Warren Brinson, when you get to this stage in your career, Curtis, don't you think you kind of like are who you are? Like, you can improve your game, but like, we're talking about like marginally. Are you with me on that?
For the most part, you see some people maybe finally flip that switch their final year or pick something up. But for the most part, I believe so, yeah.
It's certainly possible. Like, we see it from time to time. But when guys have played as much as Nazir Stackhouse has, I mean, guys going into his third year as a starter, and a guy like Warren Brinson doesn't play necessarily as much, but played a lot. I mean, I'm not saying, again, they can't improve their game. I think they can. But are we going to expect Nazir Stackhouse to go from being what he was last year to like Jordan Davis caliber stuff? Because to me, that's difference maker. And I just –
yeah, exactly. I think that's fair not to expect that at all.
Yeah, so to me, that's the biggest question. For me, the entire team. All right, what else do you got? What other questions do you want to see answered?
I think we need to see how the quarterback position is going to shake out. I mean, I know we kind of have an idea on some of these guys being Daniel Harris, Julio Humphrey, and Dalen Everett, but kind of just I want to see, you know, maybe the growth to see, you know, the steps that Daniel Harris has taken or Everett.
Yeah, I mean, when you're losing a guy like Kamari Laster, who – I don't know. Do you think Kamari's going to be a first-round draft pick? I think he'd probably slide into the back end.
I think he's very close, if not high up in the second round.
Yeah, he's in the conversation at least, right? He's in the conversation. I think he's a first-round talent. I mean, the measurables, I think, is what's going to – if it gets him, that's what will get him if he's not in the first round. But an awesome player, one of the best cornerbacks that we've had in a long time. I would say him and D. Baker, right, Curtis, the top two cornerbacks in the Kirby Smart era?
Oh, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, no questions asked there. So when you're placing a guy of that caliber who was so good for us, especially last year – I know we have some talented options. I say all the time, like, we recruit the DB position, safety and corner, but especially corner recently, I think better than anyone in the country. So we have the talent, we have players, we have guys that we know can play, but it's kind of like, you know, linebacker, because you mentioned inside linebacker. Who is going to rise to the top? Like, who will be the cream of this crop? We have, I mean, I would say four-ish at least options. I mean, if you throw in a guy like Ellis Robinson in the fourth, and maybe even, I mean, DeMello Jones is a true freshman also. I think he's a really talented player. So there's a ton of options there, but who is ready to take the next step and, like, just seize that position? Do you think Dalen Everett Curtis is going to hold on to one of those spots?
It wouldn't shock me going into and probably coming out of spring, but outside of that, I think it's anyone's ballgame.
Yeah, I mean, last year, obviously, he held on to that job all year. There were some ups and downs, no doubt. I would say his hold on it throughout the year was rather tenuous until Humphrey suffered that injury. So I think it was Ole Miss, right? I think clavicle.
Yeah,
injury.
After that, there was no question. But I think that game actually may have been the one where he lost it, if not for the injury.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, Humphrey is coming on, man. He got that start the week before against Missouri, obviously, with what they do offensively, trying to defend Luther Burden and moving Kamari inside. So, yeah, I mean, he was coming on. The injury kind of derailed that, and Dalen was – I do think that Everett played better as the season progressed. I do think he improved, so there's that. But, I mean, it was all – like, Humphrey was always right there. And now there is another spot open, so maybe he doesn't have to worry about Humphrey as much, as there's an entirely different cornerback position for him to man. It's not just Humphrey and Everett, one of those guys. But there are a number of contenders. We saw Daniel Harris in the Orange Bowl against Florida State, and he looked good. I mean, I know he gave that one long pass reception, but I mean, like, that almost perfect coverage. It was just a ridiculous throw. He's right there where he needs to be. And he's got great length, which is something, I mean, I'm not saying our guys don't have length, but he has a different level of length. So there are a number of options out there, Chris. Yeah, I think that's a really good question, man. All right, for me, I'm going to go – this is kind of a big picture look. We know Brock Bowers is moving on, right? The greatest tight end in college football history, in my estimation. He is gone. That sucks. I'm depressed that we'll never see him in Georgia uniform again. I, like, find myself just sitting here, like, watching Brock Bowers highlights over and over and over again, because we'll just never see it live again. But with Brock gone, we know that we've recruited the tight end position extraordinarily well, really, for the past 3 or 4 years. I mean, I would just, like, cornerback, I would say as well, if not better than anyone in the country. So my question now with Brock Bowers, even though we have some talented tight ends in that room, how will our offense change without Brock Bowers? We know over the past 3 years with Brock Bowers, and obviously Brock and Darnell for a couple of years, I mean, that was an embarrassment of riches. We made a habit of running 12 personnel. I mean, at least 50% of the time. We were running 13 personnel a lot with Fitzpatrick back in 2021. That was like the base of our offense, essentially. Now, I'm not saying that we wouldn't run some 11 personnel at times with three receivers out there. We would throw that out there from time to time, but we were heavy 12 personnel. So my question is, from a structural standpoint offensively, are we going to be as heavy 12 personnel, or do we like our receivers? Like, we went out of the transfer portal, Curtis, and got some good receivers. We have some really talented players returning at that position. Obviously, Lad McConkey moving on, but everyone else is coming back. So what are we going to see offensively? Are we going to transition to more 11 personnel? Are we going to see fewer tight ends on the field? I think that's a big question here in this season. Because, I mean, if you think of what we've done, like, we've 12 personnel, I don't want to say it's been our base offense, but in a lot of ways, like, kind of it has for the past couple of years, since we've had such ridiculous talent at tight end and Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington, who's just a freak and can do different things as a tight end. So are we going to see the same thing? Are we going to try to use guys like Pierce Berlin and Lawson Lucky along with Oscar Delp and of course, Benjamin Urosik coming in from Stanford? Do we feel the same way about our tight room that we did with Brock Bowers and Darnell Washington, where we're still confident that we're going to use 12 personnel 50%+ of the time?
I don't think we are. And the only reason I say that is because to go 12 personnel, we would be relying on Lucky and Sperlin. Not that we can't do it, but I would just be more shocked if we started the season going straight to that. Like you mentioned, we loaded up on receivers. You have Carson Beck, a quarterback who you tremendously trust. It makes sense to kind of put the ball in his hands and let him be a distributor. I think maybe more as the season goes, and Lucky and Sperlin, if they stay healthy and get more experience, we may see more of the 12 personnel, but I don't really see it much starting the year. And as you mentioned, the Stanford transfer, we didn't bring him in really to block. So he's not someone that you're bringing in to go 12 personnel. Now, maybe he could be the receiver and Delp could be the blocker more so, but I just don't see that as much.
Curtis, you're awesome. You know, the only three players, only three tight ends over the past 3 years that have more receiving yards than him in that time span. You want to guess?
Probably him? Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers. Michael Mayer, and Dalton Kincaid. Those three guys. And that's, I mean, it's crazy to me that this pickup of Jurasic from Stanford is not getting more love. I mean, this guy has been, like, when he's been healthy, now he dealt with some injuries last year. When he's been healthy, this guy has been a freaking stud. And he's not Brock Bowers, because nobody is, but I mean, this guy can play. This guy can play. And that's the question. It's like, okay, line up your tight ends, line up your receivers. Who do you think is going to make more plays for you? Like, who do you like more? And I think that question has to be answered this spring. Now, Jurasic's not going to be here. He's not coming until May. He's going to graduate from Stanford. But we know what we have in Oscar Dump. Like, our coaches, we've seen enough of him. But Lawson Lucky, Pierce Berlin, young guys. This spring, like, it's not so much they're competing with tight ends. Like, yeah, they're going to be competing with each other in the tight end room. But they're also competing with the receivers. Because they have to prove to the coaches that they bring more value to the field than the receivers do. And the receivers are doing the same thing with the tight ends. Receivers are, yeah, they're battling each other to get on the field at receiver in that room. But they also, as a group, have to show the coaches that they bring more value to this offense than the tight ends do. And I think that's a fascinating dynamic this year, at least going into this spring. And again, we probably aren't going to have that fully answered this spring. Jurasic is not here right now. I do think he's going to be a big piece of that puzzle. I think that highly of him. So we won't find a definitive answer probably until fall camp. But I think you'll start to at least get an inkling as to what the answer is in spring practice, at least heading into the summer, heading into fall camp. So I think that's a really fascinating question. And I don't know the answer right now. I need to see it. I mean, we have Oscar Delp, he's going in his third year. We have two guys though that didn't play that much last year. They were true freshmen last year. So how big of a step are they ready to take? And these transfer receivers coming in, how ready are they to like really transition to our offense? I mean, it took a guy like Ra-Ra Thomas. It took him a minute, Curtis. I know it's a very different kind of offense, but how ready are they to make that transition and kind of show the coaches that, hey, we bring more value to the field this spring? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. All right. You got any other questions you're looking at this spring?
I think those are the main ones.
Okay. I got one and a half more. All right. I'm going to throw this at you here real quick. We do have a number of returning stars in the offensive line. Obviously, Tate Ratledge. We've got Dylan Fairchild. We've got Ernest Green at left tackle. So we're not like, you know, completely without experience on the offensive line. But we are losing who I believe is the most talented player on that offensive line. I don't even think that's a question in Amarius Mims. Now, he was hurt for the vast majority of last year, but still the most talented player on that line. We saw what happened when he had to leave the game against Alabama in the SEC championship game. And we're also losing Cedric Van Praan, who's not as talented physically as Amarius Mims, but like is the heart of that offensive line for like 3 years, Curtis. So you're losing two impact guys on that offensive line. So I do have a question. Yes, we have some experience returning. I'm excited about those guys. I love Tate Ratledge. I think Ernest Green has high potential. But do we have answers for our departing offensive linemen? Jared Wilson looks like he's going to be the guy at center. But how ready is he to be? I mean, I don't expect him to be Cedric Van Praan. I don't think that's reasonable. But how close can he come to filling in for Cedric Van Praan, being close to that? And then at left tackle, I mean, or right tackle, I should say. Yeah, we've got Xavier Truss coming back. He'll factor in that into that competition for sure. But you got a young guy in Monroe Freeling, who I think is significantly more talented, a much higher ceiling, but he's still young. He doesn't have the experience that Xavier Truss has. So do we have what we need to fill in for those departing linemen and not really skip a beat? Like, if you had to handicap it right now, Chris, how do you feel about that?
You know, I really – Van Praan, I don't know how much we miss of him. As a blocker, he was good.
It's not the physical part of it, right?
Yeah, but you will miss the leadership and the football IQ of doing it for so long, the experience. You'll miss that on the line, especially
in the center. It's a cerebral position. If there is a cerebral position on the offensive line, and I'm not, they all have that element to a degree, but the center is by far the most cerebral spot. You're pointing out mics and that kind of stuff. You're getting the protection set, all that kind of stuff.
It is, and you're also breaking in new guys, so it's kind of tough when you're having to break. I feel like breaking in the center along with everyone else is going to be tough because they have to work on all that communication.
And you're playing Clemson week one.
And then with Freeling, you know, I think it's going to be one of those where I don't know if they will start him right away, but he'll get in. But then again, he still doesn't have that much experience. I think spring practice is going to be really big to see, you know, the weight he's put on, because that's one thing that he really has had to do is reform his body.
Yeah. He was like 275 coming in as a true freshman. But last year, as the season went on, when we saw him a little bit in the Orange Bowl late in the season, he had put on some good weight. I mean, I don't have right now he's listed like 300, 305 pounds. So is that accurate? I don't know, but it kind of matches what you saw when he got some time out there on the field last year. I'm high on his ceiling, Curtis. I think he'd be really, really good, but it's just like it's such a small sample size that we have to go off of at the college level. You just don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the way it is for all these guys. You don't know until you know. I mean, we didn't know until we knew with Marius Mims, you know. So, but I do think that's a question. Because we know that Carson Beck is super talented. Like, we understand what this guy can do with his arm. And I said all along, all last year, that he is more mobile and a better athlete than people want to give him credit for. But let's also not confuse him with, you know, like true, like legitimate dual threat quarterback. He's not Caleb Williams back there who's going to make people miss consistently in the pocket and that kind of thing. Like, no, that's not what he does. He's not going to extend plays as well as guys like that. So when you have a quarterback like Carson Beck, who is far more of a true pro-style quarterback, you're going to need the offensive line to protect him. And our offensive line did a better job of that than anyone in the country last year, Curtis. And if we're going to maximize what Carson can do in his final year here in Athens, if we're going to go back to winning a national championship, I think the offensive line is going to need to protect him in a very similar fashion to how they did last year. And when you lose Marius Mims, although he didn't play a ton last year, I get that. And you lose a guy like Cedric Van Pran, that leadership, I do think it's a question. I think that we have answers, and I think we'll be okay there, but at the very least, it's a question. You have to ask that question.
All right, Curtis, this last one is kind of half a question.
Will we find a way to get Jalen Walker on the freaking field? Can we do that, please?
Yeah, please. That's going to be a huge – we need him on the field.
I mean, Curtis, I put this number out last week. It's just baffling to me. How many snaps did he play against Alabama in the SEC championship game?
I believe it was like 15.
12. Yeah. 12. Two sacks and 12 snaps, and I don't even know how many pressures and hurries he had last year or in that game. And he played 12 snaps. He's got to be on the field. We've got to – and I know he's a tweener. We've talked about it many times. I know inside linebacker or Jack. Where do you put him? I don't know. I don't get paid $10 million a year to figure that out. Figure that out. That guy is the most impactful defender we have on the team. For a team that struggles to rush the passer consistently, he is by far the best pass rusher we have on the team. And we have got to find a way to get him on the field more consistently. Again, I'm not smart enough to know how we do that. I have ideas, but I'm not paid $10 million to do that. But figure it out, okay? I love our coaching staff. I mean, I trust them. I say all the time, almost implicitly. But figure out a way to get that man on the field because that dude is a difference maker. So, yeah, just want to put that out there. That one, like that is, I'm not going to stop with that until I see it with my own eyes that we figured out a way to get this guy on the field more than 12 freaking snaps in the biggest game of the year. Just putting that out there.
Okay, guys, we are just getting started today. We have plenty of more to cover on the show. But first, before we go any further, I do want to remind you about our wonderful friends at MyBookie. Yes, it is March. March Madness is here. And I keep reminding you guys of that because I don't want you to miss out on this incredible offer. They've been running it for a couple of months now, and it will carry on through the end of college basketball season, through the end of March. So if you haven't signed up for a brand new account at MyBookie yet, I know a lot of you have, but if you've been on the fence, you've been waiting, just putting it off, now is the time because MyBookie has the best betting options of any sports book out there, guys. They're going to treat you right. They've got the cash out early option, especially when you're trying to do some parlays in the early rounds of the NCAA tournament. That's such a valuable tool to have at your disposal. So go to mybookie.ag right now. It's a very simple process. Sign up for a brand new account. And when you do that, use our promo code UGA. Again, mybookie.ag, promo code UGA. And you get a 50% bonus on top of your first deposit. So if you deposit $100, you get an extra 50 to play with, so on and so forth. You get the idea. So jump on this deal while you still can, guys. A couple of weeks left. Jump on it now so you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Curtis, let's move along here. Now, we have a bunch of players that I think are really, really good players. A multitude of players that are really good, talented players and have shown that they're good players and have been productive for us, but maybe haven't quite yet taken their game to that elite level yet. So I'm going to ask you this question, Curtis. When you think about the players that we have going into the spring that are going, that are most likely to take their game from good to great, or maybe even look at it this way, which players do you think we are most in need of taking their game from good, solid to elite status? Who are you looking at?
All right. So first I'm going to go with Mikael Williams.
Number one with a bullet on my list as well.
And I think now with this position change, if it, you know, continues like what we saw in the Orange Bowl, I think he will benefit and will actually have a better shot at reaching that potential with the position change.
I totally agree, man. I think this is – it's a money year for him, and I think the position change is – I don't want to say it's all about the money. I mean, I think that he certainly wanted this move because it's more of a premier pass rushing position, and he knows that's how he's going to make his money in the NFL. But I think if our coaching staff looks at it, say this is good for us too because we need to find a way to rush the passer more consistently on standard downs. Mikael Williams can just simply do that far better than a guy like Chaz Chandler. No offense to Chaz. Chaz plays hard, man. Love the guy. He's valuable. But he had zero sacks last year, Curtis. He played about – essentially exactly a third of our snaps last year had zero sacks from our premier pass rushing position in our traditionally the premier pass rushing defense in our system, which is the Jack linebacker. I know when we get to the third downs, we do some different things now. It's a little bit different, but still that's like, that is the pass rushing position. And he had zero sacks. Mikael Williams, I'm not going to limit Curtis and say he probably won't have zero sacks this year at that position. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
If he does, then we've got problems. Now here's the thing with Mikael. We've talked about him for 2 years. About how many coming out of high school, and this guy, dude, like he's legit. He's one of those guys that we hear like spring practice his first year as a true freshman, early enrollee, fall camp. Man, this guy, like he just gets it. He works hard. He's coachable. He's a freakish athlete. And so we had high expectations for him coming into his freshman year, which I always say, let's pump the brakes on that. You don't want to expect too much. But he had a good, solid freshman year, 4.5 sacks. But this year, Curtis, I mean, coming into 2023, we're like, okay, he was good as a freshman, you know, but he still has some freshman moments. But as a sophomore, oh, yeah, he's going to take that jump, right? Well, he put the exact same numbers he did as a freshman, 4.5 sacks. So 9 sacks total over 2 years. Now, in fairness to Mikael Williams, he was dealing with an injury through fall camp, in summer into fall camp. And I do think that set him back. I don't think he was really 100% until much later in the year. So I want to be fair there. But the talent is clearly there. The pass rushing ability is clearly there. I think he's at a more of a natural position for himself. And I do think he's at a position that's going to allow him to make more of an impact. But we still need to see it, Curtis. We need to see him go from being a good player for us, a really good, solid player for us, to being an elite difference maker. So if we don't have those elite difference makers on the interior of our defensive line, which maybe somebody will step up, maybe. But we need to see that. Because if we don't have those guys there, we need them somewhere in that front, on that front. And I know the Jack linebacker is not necessarily defensive front, but you know, he's going to be playing down the ground. He'll be playing out there on the line the vast majority of the time. So we need him to take that step and become an elite player. Like 9 sacks over 2 years, we need him to like have double-digit sacks this year in one single year. So I'm totally with you, man. It's number one on my list, and it's not particularly close. All right, who else you got?
Next, I have Dom Lovett. I think that, honestly, especially losing Ladd and Brock, two of Carson's biggest, you know, safety valves, I think that we need to see Dom really take that step to be great, like what we thought we were getting.
That's a great one, man. And that, actually, that was like, if I had a fifth question that was on my list, but I just like, we'll move on. My fifth question was like, do we have somebody step up as our alpha number one pass catcher? And I don't want to say just receiver because Brock wasn't necessarily a receiver. He's a tight end, really, but did kind of do some receiver stuff. But yeah, I mean, we need a guy like that. Dominic Love would probably be the number one candidate. He's the leading returning receiver, and he was the leading receiver from Missouri back in 2022. So we know he can do it. He's been productive. Now, last year, obviously, with Brock Bowers on the team, you're going to feed that guy, and he's more of a secondary option. Now, this year, can't he be that primary option again the way that he was back in Columbia, Missouri in 2022? I think there's certainly a very good chance there. So, yeah, that's a good one, Curtis. If he can take his game to elite level, then that might elevate our offense to an entirely different level. I truly believe that. That's a great one, man. All right, I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to go this is kind of a two-for-one special. I'm going to go the duo, inside linebacker duo, of C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson, okay?
Yeah, I was struck there. I was stuck there, too, because I knew both of them, but I didn't know who.
Yeah, it's like, which one? Which one do you go with? So I'm just going to go two-for-one special. I mean, it's our show, so we can do what we want. Both of those guys were good for us last year. I mean, relative to the fact that they were true freshmen, they were very good for us. But as we talked about in the season last year, Curtis, they were still true freshmen, and they made a number of true freshman mistakes. I don't think that they were ever playing like full speed, not because they were lazy, but more so they were just thinking so much out there. Because how could you not? You know, you're out there in the SEC against these graphics coordinators, and your head's still spinning as a true freshman, and you're out there, you know, getting playing time for the like against big time opponents for the first time in your life. And that's tough. That's a tough spot to be in. So they were good relative to what you typically expect a true freshman to be, but they were not elite. Now, I think they have the physical upside to become elite players. In fact, I expect them to at some point. I just don't know when that will be. I would love for it to be this year. It kind of needs to be this year. I mean, Smile Mundy being healthy is gonna mitigate that. That's going to help a lot. Because we've seen Smile be like borderline elite, you know, in 2022. Last year, dealing with some injuries, didn't have the same caliber year. I think he would say that himself. But again, that was largely related to injuries. But we need, like, if you think back to our 2021, 2022 national championship teams, especially 21, when you got guys like Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean, and Channing Tindall, we need a linebacking group like that. You know, like not just your top two guys. We need a rotation. So Allen, Wilson, they've got the ability. We need them to take that step and translate their ability into actual elite production on the field. And maybe you could throw Jalen Walker in there as well. But maybe that the young core of linebackers, I guess we could say, we need to see them go from being good players to being elite players. If that happens, I think that could go a long way to solving some of the issues that we had at times last year against the run. Now, of course, the interior of the defensive line, that's a big part of it as well. But if you don't have elite players on the interior, if no one's ready to be that guy yet, having studs at inside linebacker will certainly help mitigate that the same way it would help mitigate it if Michael Williams is ready to take that step forward. All right, who else you got on your list?
Next, I have Jordan Hall.
Oh, that's a great one, man.
See, I actually struggled with wanting to pick him because I actually didn't, you know, even really see enough to say he was good last year. But I think of all the people, he's the one that probably has the good that can go to great that we did see from last year, especially of the returning people, as you mentioned, because most of them are who they are for the most part.
I actually agree with you in that. I don't even know if he was really actually good last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I genuinely believe that. Like, I struggle to say that he, you know, was good.
He was serviceable, I think, is what I can say about him. I would say it's a lot like the inside linebackers. I think that Jordan Hall is extraordinarily physically gifted. Like, he's got the tools, man. Like, he's got the goods. I think a lot of the time last year, when I watched him play, it did not look like he was playing fast. At times, it didn't look like he was playing with a high degree of effort. But I'm going to give the guy the benefit of the doubt and say that was largely related to the fact that he was a true freshman and had no freaking clue what he was doing. And when you don't know what you're doing, I mean, Kurt, we all played, not at this level, but we all played. Like, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't play that fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you play timid. Yeah, you're timid.
Yeah, you play timid. And that's what I saw from him last year. And, like, that's why I don't want to hold it against him, because I get it. You're young and you don't know what's going on. And you go, like, especially once we got in the SEC play, you go games at times not really playing. And you get thrust back in there situationally. It's like, okay, well, do I really know what's going on? And as the season went on, we kind of used him more in a third down package. And you could see that we really kind of shrunk the package we would use him in. Because I think our coaches realized he just doesn't really get it yet. Like just from understanding the defense point of view right now. And I think if he can take that step forward, which I think that's reasonable, right? Like, you would expect him now with a year of experience to – have a firmer grasp of our system and what to do from a technique standpoint, from like even just an alignment standpoint. And if that is the case, then I believe he does have the physical tools to elevate his game to the next level. Now, is he ready to elevate it to like Jalen Carter level? That's a reach. Maybe. That'd be amazing. I think he has – I don't want to say he has Jalen Carter level potential. I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I think he has the – I mean, he's a five-star defensive lineman, Curtis. Like, he has the potential to be a difference maker on the interior of our defensive line. Is he ready? I don't know. You're right, Curtis. Like, talking about a guy that we need to go from like wherever he was last year to being great for us this year, Jordan Hall fits that bill 100%. Because if he is elite, Curtis, that changes everything, doesn't it?
It does.
It changes everything defensively. Now our inside linebackers are going to be freed up more because now he'll command more double teams, and they won't have bodies on them as much as they did last year, and to fight through the traffic like they did last year, which was part of the issue for inside linebackers last year, the way that it wasn't in 21 and 22. It changes everything. You have to actually game plan for one of our interior guys, which no one was doing last year, Curtis. Let's just be real. No one was game planning. Like, you weren't game planning around our interior defensive linemen last year, which you had to in 21 and 22. So it would definitely change everything. It's a great call. All right, I'm going to go – I have a few more, but if I'm trying to limit to three here, Ernest Green, Curtis.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Talked about it a little bit earlier. Yeah, left tackle. I thought he struggled to open the season.
Definitely.
He struggled. And that's fine. It was overmatched opponents, baby seals, that we could allow him to struggle and like get his feet under him. He progressed as the season went on, which is what I want to see from him. As a young guy, I wasn't a true freshman, a redshirt freshman, but basically a true freshman because he had a back surgery as a true freshman and wasn't getting reps in practice. So he was a really young, inexperienced guy. Talented, that's why he was out there, but young and experienced. And that showed early. And he's another guy I don't think was playing fast all the time because I just don't think he really always knew what was happening. But he did improve. As the season went on, he got better and better. And that was very, very encouraging for me. So I think by the end of the year, I would say Ernest Green was good. Early part of the year, I would say he was serviceable at best and sometimes not even that. But by the end of the year, I think he got his feet under him. He got more confidence and more experience, all those things. And I would say he was good. But we, without Amarius Mims on the other side, and us maybe potentially working in another young guy in Monroe Freeling or a guy like Xavier Truss, who's been good for us, but it's, you know, he's got physical limitations. We need Ernest to step up and be the five-star, well, fringe five-star, depending on what recruiting service you're looking at, the high four, five-star guy that he was coming to high school. And he's got the upside. He's got the tools. He's got the length. He's got the footwork, all of that. We need him to become more physical. We need him to become nastier. We need him to just be a dominant left tackle. And I think he's got it in him. He wasn't that last year, but I do think he has it in him. And if he can be that this year or closer to that this year than he was last year, then that does help, I think, mitigate having to lose a guy like Amarius Mims and working a younger guy over there at right tackle. I think that certainly would be a big boost for our offensive line, especially if you consider what we want to do, Curtis, from like an offensive structural standpoint. Like, we still want to be a physical offense. That's our identity. We want to run the ball, set up play action, pass on the field, all of that. And we need elite linemen to do that. And so it'd be great if Ernest Green could take his game from good to elite. Now, will he? That's what practice is for. We'll find out. We'll have our eye on it, but we don't know. It's a question. All right, anybody else on that list, Curtis?
No, I think that's it.
All right, I'm going to throw one more at you real quick. You mentioned him earlier, so we won't spend much time on it. Daylon Everett.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair one.
I mean, I would say Daylon and or Julian Humphrey and or Daniel Harris. One of those guys.
We have to have Lassiter,
but like kind of close to that.
We need to have somewhat of a shutdown corner because you can't be a championship team without at least some type of alpha over there.
Yeah. Yeah, we need somebody out there to take a step and to be that guy. And Daylon wasn't that guy last year. He wasn't. But I do think he started to show some signs late in the year. I think he came on, and we talked last year. I mean, I'm sky high when it comes to Julian Humphrey as a cover guy. I think he was a better cover guy than Daylon was last year. But he's just got to be more physical on the perimeter in the run game, the screen game kind of stuff. So one of those cornerbacks would be great if we get them to take that step from good to great, good to elite. Okay, guys, we are far from done, but before we go any further, I do want to take one more quick break to remind you about our awesome friends at Alumni Hall. In case you missed it, the Diamond Dogs are off to the best start in program history, at least modern history, at 16-1 right now, with conference play set to open next weekend on the road in Lexington. When the Dogs do come back home, we have one midweek game against Iowa on Tuesday. So when the Dogs come back home, you need to make it out, guys. I know a lot of you probably already have, but if not, you gotta take in this team. They are hitting the cover off the baseball. We'll see what comes in SEC play, but at the very least, this has been an incredibly fun team to watch. And when you come out to Foley Field, you want to make sure you look the part. You want to be out there supporting the guys. And the best way to do that is to get the latest and best Georgia baseball gear. And there's no better place to get that stuff than Alumni Hall. Of course, as I always tell you, they're going to have stuff that nobody has anywhere else. Tons of great gear for men, women, children, whoever. Alumni Hall has got you covered. So whatever you're in the market for when it comes to Georgia Bulldogs, Alumni Hall is the place to go because Alumni Hall is where the Bulldogs shop. All right, Curtis. Now, one thing that's always a big topic of conversation this time of year as you go into spring practice, especially now in the age where you have like all these early enrollees, but everybody wants to know, Who are the freshmen to watch? Who are the guys that are going to make a name for themselves and put them in position to potentially earn some early playing time this year? And there's always somebody. It's Brock Bowers. It was Andrew Thomas years ago. Last year's Lawson Lucky until he got injured in fall camp, and it set him back a little bit. But there's always somebody. Mykel Williams back in 2022, Curtis. So who's the first guy when I say freshman to watch? Who's the first guy that comes to mind?
I think you have to say Robinson right away.
It's got to be. I mean, he's number one on my list as well. Ellis Robinson, the fourth. I think arguably the best player in the entire class. I mean, obviously, they'll have to prove it on the field, but he's always number two in the composite rankings, I think, at the end of the day, behind Jeremiah Smith. This is a guy, Curtis. I mean, I know he hasn't done the college level, but in any camp setting where he was matched up against the best of the best when it comes to receivers, he excelled. He shined. So this guy has the tools, man, and I'm extraordinarily excited to see what he can do. And also, if you're talking about a guy that could make waves and put himself into position, maybe earn some playing time, you got to have an opportunity in terms of an open position. There's going to be a vacancy at your spot. And, well, cornerback, there happens to be a vacancy. And the other guy, Dalen Everett, I don't know how strong of a hold he has on the other spot. So there's opportunity there for Ellis Robinson the fourth, and I'm – very, very anxious to see this guy in action and hear what people have to say about him. All right. On my list, I had Ellis Robinson. I also got Joseph Jonah Ajayi. Now, this is not a name I think the average Georgia fan is like thinking all that much about coming into spring practice. Think more like, you know, Ellis Robinson, KJ Bolden, guys like that. But I'm telling you guys, you've heard me talk about this guy plenty of times. This is nothing new on the podcast. This guy, from a physical standpoint, is ready to play right now. He's ready physically, like strength-wise, athleticism. He is an explosive 275-pound athlete at the 5-tech position. Now we're moving Mykel Williams from 5-tech to the Jack linebacker. Yes, we have Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, but Joseph Jonah Ajayi could certainly push there. And I'm not saying he's in a star, but I think he could very well end up in the 2-deep by the time we open the season. I'm sky high on this guy. And he's also one of those kids, if you ever hear this guy do an interview, like, he just gets it, man. He's a smart, well-spoken kid. You can tell he's just kind of, and you hear all these things about him behind the scenes, great work. I think all of those things you like to hear, and you match that with the physical tools, it's okay. I think this guy might be a legitimate player. All right, who else are you watching?
You do have to say KJ Bolden, realistically, especially with, you know, the turnover at safety.
You can't not. I mean, where would you – like right now, if you're looking at that position battle of safety, how much of a chance do you give KJ to really make a move this spring and kind of make his claim for it?
I think he has a shot not only at safety but at star, because as much as we like Joel Aguero, we don't know – I mean, he's a big bit of an unknown also, especially when it comes to covering. You know, can he stay with those guys? So, I mean, if KJ comes in and has a really strong spring, I mean, he could even put himself in a position there.
Do you think he's big enough from a frame standpoint to be able to hold up against the run from that spot? That's a big part of what our star has to do.
See, that's going to be the issue. And where I think spring is important to him of learning it, but he's not really going to make a move until, especially a star, until once the season's here, because you need to be in the weight room for longer than just a couple months.
I'll give KJ this. He's not the biggest guy in the secondary, but he is not afraid of contact. He will not shy away. But at some point, you have to be big enough to be able to handle it. And look, I mean, I know I'm not saying that Javon Buller's the biggest guy in the world, but Javon Buller's like 205 pounds, okay? Same thing with Tyke Smith. KJ, I mean, he's listed right now on our website, on our roster at 195. I don't know. You think he's 195? I mean, I guess they know. I wouldn't know.
I mean, if he's 195.
In high school, he was not 195. I can tell you.
No, that. I think I would say he probably played at 180.
Yeah, I mean, yes, closer to that. So, I mean, hey, he's in a college weight program now. Maybe he has added a good weight. And if he's 195, 200, okay, maybe we can look at him playing that star position. So that's not out of the question. But, yeah, I mean, he's extraordinarily physically gifted. We know that. And there are some vacancies. I mean, star, one of the safeties, I mean, they're wide open, Curtis. I mean, I do think Janelle Aguero is the odds-on favorite right now going into the spring at star. But safety, I honestly don't know. I think it's wide open, like wide open. And he'll make his claim, Curtis. Like, he'll try. He'll make a move, and we'll see if it's enough to hold off some of the vets. All right, All right, this is a tough one for me because I think he is freakish, man. He's so talented, so gifted. He's a stud. But I don't know how he gets on the field right now as a true freshman with all he has in front of him. And I'm talking about Justin Williams, inside linebacker.
Yeah,
one linebacker in the country.
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't go with him, because I just don't see him getting on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, and sometimes you see these guys are rating five stars, number one player, and they don't always live up to that billing. I'm telling you guys, Justin Williams is a legitimate five-star number one linebacker in the country. He is that good. Like, he is that good. By the way, same high school in Texas as Joseph Jonah Janye, which is crazy.
Which
he is that good.
Which is why I think he goes under the radar more.
100%. Yeah. And he's also, I mean, a five tech is not a glamour position. You know what I mean? Especially in our defense. Yeah. So they just don't get the love like that. But Justin Williams, I'm like, he's so good. But then you're talking about, okay, well, yeah, we have Smile Munden. We have CJ Allen. We have Raylan Wilson. We have Jalen Walker. We have Troy Bowles. Like, we have all these guys. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, you're awesome, but so are they. And you're younger than they are. So I just, I'm still going to keep him on my list of freshmen to watch, because I just think you're going to hear buzz at the very least about like how talented this guy is and how good he looks. But I don't know if it means that he's going to even be in the 2 deep, which is crazy. That just tells you how stacked we are at inside linebacker. I mean, it's just ungodly. So I don't know what to think there, because I do think he's so gifted. Like, if he was on the team last year, maybe. He's another guy like Joseph Jonah Janye. I mean, I guess it's weird because they come from the same school, that has all the physical tools, but everything you ever hear about the guy. I mean, Kirby himself in interviews has like made a point to rave about this guy, talking about how smart he is, like the highest GPA of all the incoming freshmen, and how hard of a worker he is behind the scenes, how coachable he is, all of those things. And when I hear coaches and Kirby Smart make a point, like unsolicited really, to say those things about a player, and a player that I know is as physically gifted as Justin Williams is, it's a lot like the things Kirby would say about Brock Bowers, Curtis. I'm not saying – I mean, I know totally different positions, but we knew how physically gifted Brock was, and to hear Kirby and his teammates and other coaches talk about what Brock does behind the scenes and the kind of guy he is, that's what made Brock special. Justin Williams, you're already hearing the same kind of thing. So that's why I'm going to keep him on the list. I'm not going to discount him, because he might just be one of those special dudes. He might just be. So I'm going to put him on my list of freshmen to watch here. All right, Kirk, a couple more things before we get out of here today. If you had to pick one position battle, there's a number of them. I've made my way through all of them over the past couple of weeks. But if you had to pick one of them this spring, Curtis, that you are most intrigued by, which one are you going with?
I think I'm going to go with the safety battle.
Yeah, that's number two on my list.
See, number two for me is cornerback, but I think – I mean, I know we have Ellis Robinson.
I have corner at one and safety at two.
And see, my thing is that – in all honesty, Ellis Robinson can be a challenger, but I think it's going to be one of those three guys between Daniel Harris, Julio, and Daylon, realistically.
The two of those three?
Yeah. And I know it's similar with safety, because you have Dirty Dan, David Daniel,
Ja'Cory Thomas?
Ja'Cory Thomas plus KJ Bolden. Like, you have a lot of the guys.
Chance from Alabama.
Exactly. So, I mean, there is a lot of – there's a log jam at that safety position, so it realistically could go anywhere.
And Janelle Aguero could also play safety. That's why he played in high school.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of guys, too, that could probably play that position, the cornerback position, but I think it's really those guys. But I think safety is the one, like, as you mentioned earlier, it's wide open.
Okay, you might have convinced me. I think you're right because, like, there is – like, yeah, there's just, like – even going into the spring, you're like, I don't even know who's going to open as the number one safety. Somebody's going to go out there with the first team defense the first day of practice, and I don't even know who it's going to be right now. I guess Dan, right?
No, that would be my guess just for that first day.
He's got the most starting experience. Not that that necessarily matters. I don't know. David Daniels was the one that started last year, though, but he didn't play very well when he started and kind of like fell out of the rotation after that, fell out of the lineup entirely. Yeah, I guess I would handicap it. Dirty Dan opens there, but I mean, talk about a tenuous hold on his position. I don't know if there's ever been a more tenuous hold. I mean, how much of that was suck for Dan Curtis? Like, so he goes in the 2022 season as a starter, earns that job, and then after one game, Dan, love you, buddy, you're out. Malachi, you're in. So what if that same thing happens this year? Like, game one against Clemson, another big Power 5 team. You don't put a guy out there that you trust and you know experience, put Dan out there against Clemson, and then KJ Bolden or somebody goes out there and makes a wow play, and then week two, they're starting.
You do have to feel for him.
I mean, just what? But that's he's a program kind of guy. You know what I mean? Like those kind of guys are what your program is built on. Like, yeah, we have super talented players, way more talented than him. But guys like that, it's just you root for him, man. Like, obviously, I want what's best for Georgia. I want the best players out there. But it'd be great if Dan does end up being one of the best players out there, because you just got to root for the guy. You got to. But yeah, I think you convinced me. I think safety is the most intriguing one. But I'll at least talk about corner here real quick, since I did initially have it on my list before you made me feel dumb. But corner, yeah, look, so I went with corner because I think both spots are kind of open. I mean, I know that Dalen Everett's a returning starter. I get that. But again, he was battling, like fighting for his life all last year to hold on to that spot. And if it wasn't for an injury to Julian Humphrey, I don't know if he would have held on to it. Maybe, possibly, probably, but I don't know. So I think he's still got like he's got to prove it all over again. I don't think he has it. Like, you know, think about Kamari Lassiter coming into last year. He had like a strong hold in that spot. Like, no one's taking that spot. Do you feel the same about Dalen Everett this year, Curtis?
No, not at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. So I do think, yeah, he's coming in as the like incumbent starter, sure, but like there's certainly an opportunity for somebody to come in there and potentially take that job. Now, Dalen, he improved a lot. And he's a really talented player, so maybe he takes that next step. I'm hopeful, but I just don't know. So when you talk about, you mentioned Daniel Harris, Julian Humphrey, Dalen, and Ellis Robinson the fourth, of course. Hey, I know Ellis Robinson gets all the publicity. We're talking about the cornerbacks in this class, and I get it. He might be the best player overall in the class, but DeMello Jones is no slouch, man. DeMello can play. That guy is elite. And Andre Evans is a really good player too. The kid we got from Tennessee, that guy can play too. So I just think we got a lot of talent on Kyron Jones, Chris Peel, some guys I heard some really good things about behind the scenes last year during the season, never really played, but coaches liked them. I mean, there's a lot of really talented options. We recruit that position so well. And like, I know Dalen's back, but I kind of in some ways feel like both jobs are open. So I don't know. That's why I went with corner initially, but I think you convinced me with safety because that job is like just so freaking wide open. It's not even close. One last little honorable mention here for me, though, in terms of intriguing position battles. We're talking about Justin Williams. What about inside linebacker, Curtis?
Oh, it is. It's an interesting one.
Because we know Smile Munden's going to start. Like I feel very confident saying that. But who else? I mean, CJ Allen, you think would be the guy probably, but I mean, that's not a done deal.
No, it's not at all.
Because I mean, like I said, I'm gonna go back to what I said with one of my biggest questions. What are we gonna do with Jalen Walker? The man plays inside linebacker. That's the room he's in. You got to get the man on the field. So I don't know. And Raylan Wilson is so freaking talented. How do you keep that guy out the field? Justin Williams. I mean, I don't know, man. It's definitely gonna be a rotation inside linebacker this year. So for me, it's like the whole thing, like in totality, the battle of like who are gonna be the four guys that are gonna be in the rotation this year. That to me is fascinating because they're all so, so talented. And those coaches have got to figure out a way to get these guys on the field because they all deserve to be on the field because you don't want these guys transferring out. So, and Chris Cole too, Curtis, another guy.
Yeah, he's going to be a good one too.
I mean, that guy's awesome. And Chris Jones also from Virginia. I mean, both those guys from Virginia. I mean, weird. Curtis, honestly, is there a more talented position group on any team in the United States of America than our inside linebacker room?
It's hard to find it, honestly.
I mean, I know we've said about tight end in the past. I don't know if I would say it as much right now. I mean, it's certainly in the conversation of the best tight end group. But our inside linebacker room, Curtis, I mean, five-star, 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 four-star, four-star. I mean, like, just studs. Stud after stud after stud, man. And, like, so much so that Pop Dumas Johnson, who was, oh, by the way, let's not forget, a preseason All-American coming last year. We have so much talent in that room now that he was like, I'm probably not going to play as much. I'm transferring out. That's how much talent we have in that room. That's just crazy. So, like, that's an intriguing position battle for me, like, for a totally different reason, but I'm still very, very much intrigued by it. Yeah. All right, Curtis, last thing here, and we're going to wrap it up for today. Give me some breakout players, some guys that you think, once spring is all said and done, we're going to walk away from G-Day saying, all right, this guy is going to be a big-time player for us this year. Maybe it's a guy that's been on campus for a while. Maybe it's a freshman last year. Maybe it's a true freshman this year. Who are some breakout players?
I think you got to go, in my opinion, first with Lawson Lucky. You know, he came on the scene last spring, but, you know, you didn't get to see as much from him in the season where you were really hoping to. So I think this is going to be the game where, or, you know, the time where he can reestablish himself in a lot of the fans' minds that, you know, kind of forgot about him.
Yeah, remember, like, this time last year, like, it was all Lawson Lucky. It's all we were hearing about. Lawson Lucky this, Lawson Lucky that. Like, he was the freshman. He was the freshman impact player, and he was poised to do that. But then got injured in fall camp and got set back a little bit. And, you know, it was what it was. But, yeah, I mean, let's not forget about him. He's a talented player. And I think this is a big spring for him because Jurosic, the Stanford transfer, is not here in the spring. So that guy is a talented player. This is an opportunity for Lawson Lucky to really establish himself prior to your roster getting on camp or getting on campus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is big for him. Like to make a move here and say, Coach, I deserve to play. And make sure he's like got at least some sort of role carved out on this team. That's a good one. That's a very good one. I'm gonna go on the defense here, Chris. I'm gonna go Damon Wilson Jr. This is a guy that's not going to start at Jack, because that's gonna be Mikel. Mikel's gonna be the standard down guy, first and second down. But we are going to get Damon Wilson on the field a lot in third downs, and maybe some on standard downs as well. But I think, like, in terms of like, I think Jalen Walker is the best pass rusher we have. He's the most disruptive player we have on defense, at least proven wise. But I think Damon Wilson has the ability to maybe challenge him for that title. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think he has that ability. So I don't know if he's ready. He shows signs at the end of last year. Like, he's a really, really good athlete off that spot. He's explosive first step quickness. He has an insane ability to bend around the edge, which is very, very important when you're playing that role as a pass rusher. I mean, his ankle flexibility is off the freaking charts. So that's just, like, if I'm thinking about, okay, after the spring, who are we going to have talked about the most throughout the spring? I think Damon Wilson might be one of those names. I can foresee that being a name. We're like, okay, yeah, Damon Wilson's ready to be a big-time player for us this year. All right, who else are you thinking about?
I'll go ETN, actually. Yeah, I think, you know, he's a big-name guy, but you only saw him in, you know, sporadic times at Florida, because realistically, one thing that hurt him was his pass blocking. And if he wants to be the guy at Georgia, he's going to have to do that.
And you've seen, I'm sure you've seen the social media stuff for the past couple of weeks. I'm like, he went on a podcast, was like, yeah, I'm here because I want to win. I want to be like the number one running back for a winning team, and not like a 5-7 team. And of course, all the Florida fans are like, well, we're just way too pass blocks. And it's like, or maybe you just have somebody like coach him up how to do it. You know, that also helps a little bit. Yeah. I mean, ETN, like, I'm very, very high on, how we've not even talked about him yet. I'm very high on ETN. And I mean, as a runner, I mean, he was a stud at Florida. I mean, he is a game-changing player at that running back position. And especially now, Branson Robinson is not going to be clear for the spring. Branson Robinson very well might not be clear for fall camp. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I'm just telling you, I'm hearing behind the scenes. Like, that's no done deal, guys. Like, it's not one of those things like, oh, yeah, he'll be clear by the fall. Maybe. So ETN very well might go into week one against Clemson as our number one running back. So it'd be great if you're Rikers, if he was that breakout guy that we're hearing about. Like, man, like, this guy that George got from Florida, man, like, he is a difference maker. We need that, because we need that, especially if Branson is not ready to go, which I hope he will be, but there's just no telling there. I'll go with another offensive guy. I'm going to go Anthony Evans.
Ooh, that's a good one. I know that,
yeah. And I know the guy you mentioned, Dominic Lovett, like, he is the starter of slot. I mean, I don't have any expectation that Anthony Evans will, like, unseat Dom as, like, the starter at the slot receiver position. But that doesn't mean he's not going to play. I fully expect him to play this year. You started to see him come on late last year. Obviously, the punt return against Alabama, we kind of stuck him on the field. And then he had a touchdown against Florida State, played really well against Florida State. Orange Bowl, Florida State, we know opt-outs, whatever. But Anthony Evans has Arian Smith-level speed, Curtis. Like, I mean, right there with Arian Smith. And he actually seems like actually know how to play the position in a way that Arian doesn't. You know what I mean? And that's not a shot on Arian Smith. I don't mean it that way, but – like, Arians was always a work in progress, whereas Anthony Evans, I mean, he had to work on some stuff last year, but is more advanced at this stage, and also didn't miss like his entire freshman year with an injury, essentially. So I think he's more advanced than what Arian Smith was. And if we use him properly, Curtis, that guy can be an explosive threat for us every single game. Can actually like win games for us, like that kind of player. Like, he can do that. So I mean, it's speed's the name of the game in this day and age, man. Attacking space, and Anthony Evans, along with Arian Smith, I mean, legitimately might be the two fastest players in the entire SEC on the same team, playing the same position. So just a name to watch there. All right, you got anybody else you want to throw out there?
I think no, I'm good.
I'm going to go one more. You mentioned, you're all over him, Daniel Harris, a cornerback.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I don't know if he's going to start, but I'm like, Curtis, there's a reason why. And you can say the same thing about Julian Humphrey too, but there's a reason why our coaches – tried so hard and fought so hard to keep this guy around after he was reportedly going to enter the transfer portal, even though he really didn't play much until the Orange Bowl, right? You know what I mean? Like, our coaches know what this guy's capable of. And I'm just telling you guys, I heard a lot about him behind the scenes throughout last year of practice. Like the coaches taking notice of him not just at practice, but his work habits behind the scenes, what he's doing on the scout team, yes, in practice, in the meeting rooms, all of those things, and his physical ability. I mean, he's slight. He's got a slight frame, but his length is unmatched in that room. It's just unmatched. And I think that he has a legitimate shot to win one of those cornerback spots. I don't know if he'll do it. And that's, again, that's what spring is for. That's why we all pay attention to it. But if you're asking like who might be some guys that you think by the end of spring would be a name that everyone in the Georgia fan base is starting to know about, I think Daniel Harris very well could be one of those guys.
But all right, guys, I think that just about covers everything, at least for today's show. Again, spring practice kicks off on Tuesday, March 12th, and you guys know we are going to have you covered all spring long with everything that you need to know coming out of Georgia spring practice. We're going to have a weekly update, and if we need to, we'll have daily updates if there's breaking news that we need to cover. But regardless, if you want to stay up with all things spring practice, there's no better place to do that than right here with the Glory UGA podcast. Also, a friendly reminder, we're going to continue to have some great YouTube content for you, some YouTube videos up there we put up over the past couple of weeks. I'll have some Georgia baseball content up there for you guys, maybe some Georgia tennis stuff, obviously some spring practice content as well. So make sure you guys are following us, you're subscribed to the channel. Again, it's just Glory UGA at YouTube. That is a huge help for the show. We greatly appreciate that. We have some other really cool stuff that we're going to be rolling out here over the next couple of months. You guys might have noticed that, yes, we did update our logo, we have a brand new logo. And there is a reason for that. Some of the stuff that we've got coming up, we felt like we kind of needed a new logo to go along with that. So yeah, we've got a new logo. Hope you guys like it. I like it. I'm an old school guy. It's simple. That's kind of how I am. And so I figured that would work. But also make sure you're following us on social media. You can find us on Twitter. It's at @Glory_UGA. You can follow us on Instagram. It's Glory UGA Podcast. If you subscribe, like the videos, comment on the videos, all that stuff on YouTube, that is a huge, huge help. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you for listening to the podcast, number one. That's the biggest thing you can do. But if you want to help us keep this thing rolling on, those things also help as well. So have a great week, guys. Come on back later this week. We're going to have some more great content for you. There's a very good chance that our basketball season will end on Wednesday. So if that is the case, we will have a post-mortem, a Georgia 2023-2024 basketball season post-mortem episode for you guys, where we try to make sense of everything. What went right? What went wrong? Where do we go from here? If some way, somehow, we miraculously make it through Wednesday, get to Thursday, get to Friday, which would take a miracle, then we'll have that for you guys early next week. So yeah, a lot of cool stuff on the way, but we are out of here. For Curtis, I'm Tyler, and of course, as always, go Dawgs!